Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I am your host for this episode, Mike Powers, and joining me as always is Steve Megatron Phillips.
Yo.
This comes up out of a Twitter comment that I threw out, I think it was last Friday. And this could almost be a kind of a bonus segment on your Future Imperfect podcast, Steve, to maybe try to get different listeners.
Totally.
But I've been watching, after finishing up Star Trek Discovery, I went back and I thought, you know what, I'm going to watch Star Trek Enterprise. And so I sat down to start watching it, and I think I just about wrapped the first season, or I was somewhere in the second season or something like that. And a particular, I don't even remember what episode it was, but it prompted me to make the following Twitter post, which is, imagine if Enterprise, Voyager, or even Discovery had a little more Walking Dead or Game of Thrones in them, not knowing who would live or die on a mission. A little dramatic tension in a Trek series wouldn't be a bad thing. From what I got, just right up top, Ryan Cox on Twitter agreed with me. But that's the problem he had with Trek's mainly episodic model. He said DS9 had more stakes to it, which is why he tends to go back to it more, even though Voyager was the one series he grew up with. You chimed in with Discovery, and a couple of episodes on The Next Generation.
Well, there was one in particular, and it was the only one that they actually killed one of the main cast, and that was Tasha Yar.
And you know what? I feel like for as long as that show went on, for as many episodes as that show had, like, and that was it, I feel like that doesn't even count.
Well, like, they killed her the end of the first season too.
So
but they constantly referenced it.
And then I want to just give shout out to one guy, just random guy, said they already have what I was asking for. They're called red shirts. But that doesn't really get to what I was suggesting, because we all know red shirts are just throwaway characters. And maybe I can shed some more light on this, given that now we have a verbal forum here. But the reason I referenced, you know, Enterprise, Voyager, and Discovery the way that I did is because of when and where they're set. I feel like because there's the original series, right? That's done and over with. There's really no changing that. Plus, the original series was so short. Before they started making movies, and I feel like Star Trek in the movies has always had is where all the repercussions happen. Any major changes, ships being destroyed, cast members dying, all that stuff has been saved for or has been shown in the movies, which may be why I tend to like them a little more than the TV shows. But Voyager, they were stuck out in the middle of the Delta Quadrant by themselves. Enterprise, that is before, like, everything. Like, they could have had tons of fun with that show, right? And then, of course, Discovery, it remains to be seen what's going to go on with Discovery, but the way that, from season one, what I saw in season one is that it's just more Star Trek. Like, people die. They found a way to bring said people back. Granted, they're different, but they still came back.
Well, the only one they haven't brought back was Dr. Culver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He did die. And he at least got more of an arc than the security officer lady that was in, like, the third episode or fourth episode that got mauled by the space cow.
So I guess Discovery doesn't really need to be put in there.
And they killed Lorca too, so.
Did they?
Well, like, they killed him so far.
Yeah. See, that's. I feel like that's a typical Trek thing, to find a way for somebody to come back. But I feel like it would be more interesting, especially given that, you know, so let's leave Discovery out of this equation. Okay, so you've got Voyager where they're stuck in the Delta Quadrant. And you've got Enterprise, which is the prequel to everything. And they're new. This is their first time out in space. And it's like everyone that they meet. It's kind of funny. It was a mission. You know, it's a show of exploration. The first two seasons are a show of exploration and discovering new things and learning new things. But everybody wants to shoot and try to destroy the Enterprise. From what I could see, there's very few episodes where they run into somebody that doesn't want to destroy the Enterprise.
Well, and then you've got the Time War. Then you've got the Nakul. You've got the Suluban. Even the Klingons really aren't too key to the storyline, even though they still look like TNG.
No, but everyone is hostile in Enterprise. Everyone that they come across is hostile, but nobody there. I can't think of one casualty in the first two seasons.
You'll have to wait till the end of the fourth season just to get that.
Well, see, the third season has casualties, but it's people you don't care about or people you don't even know about. So that and that's kind of what, you know, bothers me. It's like you have there's these set, and granted, TV wasn't what it is. TV 14 years ago isn't what it was today. Right. You didn't have. There were no TV shows like The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones
or American Horror Story.
So it's a completely different ballgame. And I'm viewing this through the lens of TV now. And I'm like, this could be so much better. Now, I will say season 3 of Enterprise has been a massive departure. And they have had people die, but it's no one that you know about or really care for. But they just reference the fact that they've lost crew, which they never did in the first two seasons. If they did lose crew, they didn't bring it up. In fact, I believe the captain just kept saying we don't, you know, safety is of the utmost important. Like everyone he goes out with, he returns to Earth with.
Pretty much.
Until season 3 starts. And then they actually start losing people, but it's no one that you know about, so the stakes just aren't there. And I feel like I don't know. And Voyager could have been the same thing too, because Voyager, they're stuck in the Delta Quadrant. It's a completely unexplored. They're alone. There is no Federation to help. There's nothing.
I will say as far as Enterprise, you'll have to wait until the very end of Enterprise just to get a death of any of the major crew, and it's also the way that it goes out is just, it's kind of crap. I don't know if you've seen the end episode at all.
No.
Okay, I won't spoil it for you, but it goes out like crap, and you're gonna be like, really? Really? When you watch it? Even the actors that were involved said that it was tasteless when they were asked to do it, and Voyager, part of my problem with that is the majority of them, there's things where the characters did die consistently, and they used time travel to fix it, and they used, quite often they used time travel to fix it. There was duplicate scenarios where somebody was duplicated by some screw up in some kind of scientific way.
Yeah,
and so yet one version would die, the other would, you know, go on further, and there was a majority of how Voyager survived was time travel intervention, and the EMH, because he's got so much scientific history of medical history, he's able to pretty much reverse anything. There's an episode where Tom Paris and Janeway go to transwarp of warp 10 and break the barrier and morph into these lizard creatures, and the doctor reverses them back to human.
Well, see, now, okay, I I've seen all of Voyager. But what's really weird, and maybe it's me looking through the lens that I'm looking through now and not 14 years ago. But, like, time travel is such a huge part of Enterprise. Like, just the show. Like, I did not believe how much time travel was a part of that.
And it jumps beyond, like, anything that comes after.
Like, I've seen them, like, go to the past. Like, I haven't really seen them, like... They just use time travel to set up so much stuff, and it's like... It just... The amount of time travel you see in Enterprise, I feel like that would have such a ripple effect on the rest of the Star Trek continuity. Like...
And yet it doesn't.
Yeah, like, everyone... Like, every other show... Everyone seems so surprised, like, the first time they encounter, like, time travel. But, like, that's like a Thursday for Captain Archer.
Yeah. Well, Kirk...
Oh, it must be Thursday.
Kirk goes back in time a lot in the original series on the Enterprise, and they do even in the movies. And then you look at TNG, they don't even go back into the past, except for in like, All Good Things and in... First Contact, where they go back even before Archer, and yep. DS9 goes back in time once to Captain Kirk's era for Trials and Tribulations, and then Voyager just mostly there's one point that they do go back to, like, the 90s, but for the most part they go into different spots of their own timeline, whether it be in the past or the future, but it's still within the 24th century, so it really doesn't have any ramifications.
Yeah, like, from what I remember of, like, Star Trek, like, when I followed it a lot, and right around the release of, like, Enterprise and stuff like that, reading on things, is it Rick Berman? Isn't he, like, not a good producer?
He actually was one of the... he was the one that Gene Roddenberry handpicked to take over Star Trek when he died. Like,
because, like, I remember, like, following, like, the whole, like, Star Trek as, like, on TV and the way it was made and stuff like that. And I just remember, like certain, maybe it's just, like, certain fans or websites, they just didn't think he got it.
Well,
like,
he got it. The problem was, is they were trying to do something new and they were splintering off. And plus Paramount had their own channel. And so they were trying to, like, oh, look at all these lined up Star Trek shows. And so they were splintering off series from TNG and... So, like, you had Deep Space Nine come out, like, the last 2 years of TNG, and then you had Voyager the last couple years of you know, DS9, and same thing with Enterprise during Voyager's time. So, and then you had the films going on at the same time, and Berman, I mean, he had a lot of ideas. Some of them weren't the biggest ideas with the fans, but there was also a lot of, like, Paramount intervention during his era, whereas Gene Roddenberry, I think, had a lot more throw. But even he got overruled a lot. So it's, I don't know. I mean, he was kind of the creator of DS9, Voyager, and Enterprise, along with a few other people, and kind of executive produced. But he was kind of on his way out anyway.
See, now, I don't mind the time travel stuff. Like, I like it. It's like those episodes are, like, some of the ones where I'm like, this is...
That's when it got interesting.
Yeah, well, it's either going to be really interesting or it's going to be really... It's going to be either really interesting or really crazy, which means you've got to watch it, right? So, I like, those are the ones I tend to pay attention to. But at the same time, there's so many, and I'm like, it becomes, like, you know, like a major just, like, crutch. It's like, we need to tell a story. Like I just got past an episode where, you know, the Zindi in season three, they go back to 2004 Detroit to develop a bioweapon.
Yep.
And it's like, what? Why would you? This just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And then plus you get the introduction of Agent Daniels, which I thought was kind of an interesting new development.
He's interesting. I feel like he
didn't get fleshed out enough.
You know what? I want to see the Star Trek series where it's the 31st century.
Well, actually, right? You mean the one that from the relativity from? That's in Voyager?
Well, isn't that where Daniels is from? The 31st century?
I think that or the 28th century, one of the two, but he's from way up there.
Yeah, so I want to see a Star Trek show from that perspective.
So do I. But I do like, one thing I love about Star Trek Online is it intertwines all of these different Star Trek series together and makes them very cohesive and actually fills in a lot of the gaps in continuity and makes it all make sense, which one of these days I may have to actually do a playthrough and like record it. And then you get like all these extra pieces of the Star Trek mythos that you wouldn't normally get.
Now, is that all canon?
Yeah. Star Trek Online is canon.
Okay.
And it goes from everything that has to do with like the Toxu Tot and, you know, the Zindi, the, you know, Archer's time travel, you know, all over the Star Trek timeline, even to the Temporal Accords and the Temporal War. And Agent Daniels is like a centerpiece of that, throughout the entire like journey. Because he joins your crew on the 23rd century. To kind of like after he's dealt with Archer,
okay,
and Archer's told him to more or less take a hike, get off my ship, and never come back. So like he goes and bothers a captain in the 23rd century, and so like he ends up recruiting like Chekhov at some point in the late 23rd century. So he's kind of a key member in the Battle of the Enterprise J. So yeah, I mean it's a lot of continuity to kind of soak in, but I was introduced to a lot of this time travel stuff in Enterprise and a lot of the stuff throughout the other series just by playing Star Trek Online first, and then I was going back and watching this stuff so I knew what the reference points were, because I had no idea what was going on when it came to the Enterprise material.
Okay.
So it actually helps that you're watching the show, and then like if you were to ever like get involved in that, that's or look it up, the storyline anyway, it would make more sense having seen the shows first.
Right. So, okay, now this is just me trying to get a refresher on my Star Trek knowledge. Is all of this takes place in the Milky Way galaxy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's just what I... Okay, that's
yeah,
what
there's
I was...
the Alpha Quadrant, Beta Quadrant,
yep.
Delta, and the Gamma. And then
they've... I couldn't remember if it was like if the quadrant divided up all of space, or if it was just the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah, so, it's supposed to be the Milky Way.
And then isn't one of the movies where they go to the edge of the galaxy? Or is it to the center?
It's supposed to be the center, and that's Star Trek V.
Okay.
Which nobody likes to talk about. Because it's like this entity, like Shakari, that, you know, claims he's God and he's not, you know. And
yeah, I always like looking at... the reason I bring it up is because I always like looking at Star Trek maps.
Mm-hmm.
To see, like, who's plotted out, like, what, like... I most recently started looking it up again because the season 3 of Enterprise brings up the Delphic Expanse.
Yep, which you actually get to go into, and there's a lot to do with that in Star Trek Online as well.
And I've just been trying to find out, like, you know, what is, like, I've been trying to find a map that has the Delphic Expanse on it, but it doesn't. Like, the official stuff doesn't have it on it. People have added it to the official one.
I should actually screenshot you the different quadrants in Star Trek Online of the map.
The other thing that really baffles me is, like, space appears to be flat. Have you ever had that, like, sensation watching Star Trek?
Yeah, there's no depth.
Yeah, there's no... What is it? It has an X and a Y, but no... or is it... Z. No, it has... No, it has Z. It has no X.
Yeah.
X is horizontal. X is vertical.
I can't keep those track.
It's... Okay, so it has... It has the... You know, it... Well, it's... Okay, so it's the flat Earth of space.
Basically.
Star Trek is the flat Earth of space.
Yeah.
And that's always...
That's
baffled me.
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense, honestly. But
It's fine. It's just one of those things, like when you get, like when you're a kid, you're like, oh yeah, this is really cool. And then you get older and it's like, couldn't you fly around it? Like,
because space is supposed to be infinite up or down or everywhere.
Yeah, it's you're in air. So like, you know, it's like you run up to the Romulan border. Well, can't you go down and around it?
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my mentality. Like I was playing the game earlier, and there's like these time portals that you have to shut down, and there's like enemies all swarming around them. And so I, being like in a queue with like a half a dozen other people playing, and you're swamped by a bunch of ships, I actually flew underneath the time portal and deactivated it that way so I wouldn't get shot by ships. But I did exactly what you're saying, though. I didn't do like the flat, you know, flat space theory. I just did like a giant like dip and went underneath, and then I scanned it from underneath it and shut it off.
Yeah, like okay, so obviously there's a little bit of depth, right? Like you see, obviously starships can go like above each other or below each other, but it's like when you come up to a border or something in space, it's almost like it just extends forever, like up or down, you know, like
they treat it like a space road.
Yeah, it's just, but yeah, like I said, it's like one of those things when you're a kid, you're like, this is really cool. And then you're older, it's like, this is what? So, but again, it's all sci-fi, right? This is it. None of it's real. So,
but yeah, kind of rounding back to the original thought though, that they never really take any chances with their main cast. I kind of agree with you that, you know, you really didn't get much of that. And even in, towards the, like the tail end of DS9, you had, you know, Sisko actually bite it and,
oh, see, no, thanks. Spoilers.
Sorry.
I haven't gotten to, I was trying to decide if I wanted to watch DS9 after Enterprise or all of Voyager.
Well, it's kind of a quasi, like, you'd have to watch the series to actually understand what it is that's happening. But it's like, there's this whole thing with, like, the prophets.
Okay.
Of Bajor. And they chose him as the emissary. So, like, there's this, like, weird scenario of, like, it's like a,
does it come back around to the first episode? Because wasn't that called Emissary?
Well, that's when he's revealed to be the Emissary type thing. But it's not... I mean, granted, most of the characters bite it to some degree throughout the series and then come back in some different fashion. There's a lot of that. But I'll say it's interesting because they seem to have more stakes involved than what you would think, because they kind of like the first three seasons are almost painful to watch, and then beyond that, when they start getting like the movie universe uniforms, or even just before that, the series starts when you see Sisko go bald and get a goatee.
Okay.
That's when the show gets good. So until he gets his goatee and he goes bald, the show's not very good. So
okay,
just keep that in mind when you watch it. It's, but there's a lot of stakes up and down in it. So it's not as good as, I would almost argue, not as good as like some of TNG to that degree. But
well, like I said on Future Imperfect, that I always felt like, visually, like I watched like the first season of it when it aired like religiously, but I was never able to get back to it. But I feel like that's because that became what did I say it was? It was like the Melrose Place of Star Trek.
Until so, it's convenient to give them a ship.
Yeah, yeah. So
but
yeah, sorry, I'm just staring at a map of the Star Trek universe that I found online, and I'm like, where did I'm just like, where did Voyager get lost? Okay, there's where they mark Voyager got lost, and then I'm trying to find out where it got transported to, but they didn't mark that on the map.
Yeah, they got sucked through like part of the, like I think it was like the Bajoran wormhole.
It's the Badlands.
Which is right by Bajor.
Right, that's how I found it. I found Deep Space Nine. I found the Cardassian unit, which is all the way like over in the on the border of the outside edge of the Alpha Quadrant. Mm-hmm. And they got teleported to the clear other side, but it doesn't show.
What's funny about the Badlands is you can also get to the Mirror Universe that way.
Of course you can.
Yeah. Which they do in DS9 and in Star Trek Online. So it's a convenient area to go to. but I think that like there's, holy crap, that is a huge map. I haven't seen one of those since I used to have the old Star Trek technical manuals.
That's what this looks like it came out of, because it's like in four parts. Laid out all four parts and lined it all up.
I'm trying to think of where this came from. They used to have an old encyclopedia. They used to have the chronology.
Yep.
Which this looks like it came from the chronology book. Because I used to have them all. And I used to actually have a digital Star Trek Omnipedia CD program, which had everything up through DS9. Like, it didn't have anything Voyager in it. It was kind of, like, towards the end of that era. And then they came out with, like, update CDs for it. But it's insane the amount of encyclopedia information they have now.
This says that the entire width of the known galaxy is 1,500 light years.
I'll take their word for it.
Yeah, right? It's like, well, I'm not really going to refute that. I don't know. I like looking at stuff like this. I like looking at maps in general. But yeah, so I don't know. This just came up. You know, it'd be nice if Star Trek, like the TV show, had a little more, especially now with like, you know, I feel like people kind of expect that. Like, but the thing is, like, Discovery didn't do a good job building like a core group. Like it didn't do the job that. I feel like the reason The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones can do what they do is because they spend time building out like a number of characters and evolving and introducing characters. And I just don't, I don't see Discovery doing that. Like and that's fine. Cause I guess what I want isn't necessarily Star Trek, but like I said on your Future Imperfect episode, Star Trek is always a product of the time when said show premieres. And that is what TV is right now. TV right now isn't episodic anymore. It's serialized. And things change like mid-season. Like people die. Things like it would be really cool to see like ships get destroyed. Like,
you mean the ones that matter?
Yeah.
Like they do in the films, like how the Enterprise D went down and was just decimated, unsalvageable, and the Enterprise O-1 was destroyed and unsalvageable. And
yep. And that's what I said. Like, it feels like the movies is where everything happens. I mean, the movies are where Kirk died. It's where Data didn't die, did he? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Although he didn't really, because he downloaded his memories into B4.
Of course he didn't.
Well, he did, and then...
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to say it that way. Of course he did is...
And then in Star Trek Online, they figure out a way to resurface his memories, Data's memories, to take over the body and become Captain Data.
So, yeah, it's just like... But, like, you know, I don't know. It's... I feel like that's where everything happens. You know, Data dies, Kirk dies... just that's and the ships get destroyed. I mean, that's where they kind of, and I guess you could do that because like you have a bigger budget, so you can show a ship getting destroyed or crashing into Earth or something like that, but a planet. But it's interesting that, you know, I feel like they could do that now with TV as well.
Yeah, it would definitely benefit them, I think, to kind of go that route. But I guess only time will tell on that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's all I really got. Like I said, you could probably use this as a bonus segment on your future Imperfect episode.
Yeah, probably could, and I probably will.
So
what are some shows that you guys feel do this with their characters? Like, they don't put enough gravity of the situation on their characters to where, you know, you feel like that you could get maximum impact by actually killing one of your core cast, instead of having, you know, episode of the week where they magically are back to normal by the end of the episode.
And I will say there are two episodes, and it's not a part one, part two scenario of Enterprise, where they actually, the ship was damaged, and the next episode is about repairing said ship. Like, I thought that was really neat.
They have episodes like that periodically.
See, well, this was the first one I, obviously, because it's right in front of me, but this is the first one I can recall like that. So, unless it was a two-parter. This was not a two-parter. So, yeah, let us know. Have we used the hashtag Altered Trek?
Maybe.
Should we do Altered Trek, or should we do Altered Storytelling?
Maybe Altered Stories.
Altered Stories?
Yeah.
Let's do hashtag Altered Stories. You can hit us up on Twitter. I am at BoothNinja81. Steve is at SCP21. The show's Twitter is at Altered Geek. You can leave your comments and questions there. You can let us know about future topic ideas. Help us make a better show for you. Head over to your favorite podcast aggregate site and leave a review for us there. 5 stars if we're doing really well. 1 star only if we're doing that bad. And leave a review. Let us know what we're doing there too as well. Or you can head over to geekcastradio.com, and there's also the Altered Geek Facebook page. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.